All right. Hello. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to lay aside the subject of the Holy Spirit tonight. Would have been our 12th sermon on the Holy Spirit. It was going to be the Holy Spirit and regeneration, the work of the Holy Ghost in the salvation of a soul. But I got some different direction yesterday on what to do tonight. And so we're going to address a subject that I addressed in a business meeting a few months ago. About 6 months ago, I addressed the issue of modesty among the membership of the church. And I feel I need to address that again in this message. And so we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to start our reading in verse 14 and 15. And let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. I'm going to be pretty plain tonight. I'm going to say some very plain things. But I'm going to be discreet, but plain. Okay? I'm not going to be uncolourful in any way. Not if that's the word I'm looking for, but anyway, the Lord knows my heart. Let's pray. My Lord, we just ask that you'd be pleased to help us tonight. I bow before you in Jesus' name. And my Lord, I just pray that you'd help us. My God, I pray that your hand would be upon me. I pray, dear Lord, for receptive hearts, soft hearts, tender hearts, teachable spirits. And Lord, we just pray that you'd help us as a church on this matter, Lord, collectively as men and women, as brothers and sisters trying to dwell together in unity. And Father, I just ask for wisdom and grace. My Lord, I confess I need your help, and I pray for that help. And my Lord, we just ask you to help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Notice 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. It gives us the context of what's been written in a couple of these chapters. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. So he said, I've written you this letter, but I'm hoping to come unto you shortly. But, in verse 15, if I tarry long, if I don't get there for a while, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, I mentioned in the message this morning about respecting the house of God, and one of the aspects of respecting the house of God is the attire we wear when we come to the house of God. And he wrote, one of the purposes of writing 1 Timothy was that the brethren there at Ephesus would know how they ought to behave themselves when they come to church. What they ought to do. Now that starts back in chapter 2 and verse 1. So go there with me. And what I'm going to say is this. I'm going to add this as your pastor, all right? It's not in the text, but I'm going to add it. I'm going to add and church-related ministries. Okay? So whether that's Word for the West, Pure Retreat, TNS, whether that be street witnessing, youth group, it doesn't matter what it is. I believe if it's related to the church, if you're operating under the banner of the local church, I believe this applies. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, we're not going to read it for the sake of time. I'm just going to point out some verses and you can read over it and look at the context at a later point. But chapter 2, verse 1 through 7, Paul said to Timothy, I want you to be praying. First thing you do when you come together, you need to pray. And you need to pray for those that are in authority. He said, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and so on. He said, so when you gather together, pray. You need to be praying. And that's one of the main reasons we gather together, is to pray. We come together on a Wednesday night to pray. And we're coming to pray to a holy God. So verse 1 through verse 7 is prayer is to be offered. Verse 8, the exhortation is that men are to lead in this public prayer. He says there in verse 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. He said, when you come together in the house of God, the first thing you need to be doing is you need to be praying. But then after you've, and as you're praying, I need the men need to be leading in that public prayer. And that's why we have men praying in the services. Now I want you to jump now to chapter 3. Now chapter 3, we see in chapter 3 verse 13, chapter 3 verse 1 through verse 13, we see that the qualifications for bishops and deacons are given. So he said, when you come together, you need to be sure to be praying. Men need to be leading that prayer. And then when you come together in that public forum, together like that, the bishops and the elders that need to be, and the deacons that need to be governing the services and in leadership, these are the qualifications for them. Verse 1 through verse 13. Qualifications for bishops and deacons. But I want you to notice, slapped right in the middle of there is some instruction to the women. So between men praying and the qualifications for those in leadership, there's the instruction for the women in verse 9 through verse 15 of chapter 2. Let's read that portion. That's where we're going to zone in on. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 through verse 15. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. I'd like you to notice most of our time will be spent in verse 9. In like manner also, just as the men are lifting up holy hands in prayer, in that same like prayerful manner, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Now let me, before we come to this text, let me mention a few things. Number one, we need to acknowledge in the day that we live in, we need to acknowledge the powerful pressure of the world. There is a powerful pressure on the world to conform to the world. But we're exhorted in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, and be not conformed. And that word conformed means to be shaped or molded. We're not to be following the mold and the shape and the standard of the world. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I understand, ladies, that there is a pressure from the world. I have two daughters. I have a wife. I understand the pressures. I understand the difficulties. I understand the desire to be accepted. I understand all that. But the scriptures plainly tell us in every aspect of our lives as Christians, we're not to be conformed to the image of this world. This world doesn't set our standard. This world doesn't set our modesty. It's not about what's acceptable in the world. It's about what's acceptable before the Lord. And we need to be oh so careful that pressure from the world doesn't leak into the church. And it has, and it does. But we need to be guarded against it, okay? We need to acknowledge that it's there, and then we need to put in safeguards Let me make this statement. Hold your place there. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Men, let me speak to you for a minute. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28. Men, brothers, we have a responsibility of our own. You hot, sister? Tyler, can you open up that door at the back there and pin it open, mate? Open him all the way around, pin it open. Anyone else hot? Can you open that door back there, please? Let some air in. So, men, let me remind you of your responsibility in the light of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Now, men, if we're going to be honest, and I'm going to be honest tonight, okay? I'm going to say some things that are going to be uncomfortable for me to say, and they're going to be uncomfortable for you to probably listen to. But I'm going to be honest with you. It's uncomfortable as a dad to talk to your teenage girls about things. That's just really uncomfortable. But as your pastor, I'm just going to get a little bit uncomfortable for a little bit, okay? And I'm going to make you uncomfortable because it needs to happen, okay? But fellas, if you're honest, you all would admit that you have trouble with your eyes. The problem that I have is I'm attracted to women. That's how God made me. That's how God made men. To be attracted to women. Now let me say this. Now you young fellas, it's going to be a little bit embarrassing for you tonight, okay? But you need to hear it. But that desire and that lust that you have for women, that's a God-given desire. God made you that way, right? And let me say this to the parents and the adults involved. Don't shame your boys for that desire. God made them that way. Now, let me say this. You need to be exhorted and you need to be guarded and you need to be oh so careful that you guard yourselves and protect yourselves because it's only okay in the bounds of marriage. Right? And there's only one woman I want to lust after in this church and that I'm allowed to lust after, and that's my wife. And I'm allowed to. Because I'm married to her and God made me to desire a woman. I didn't make me. And no other man made him. God made us this way. But we need to acknowledge that we have a responsibility to be careful of what we look at. You can't help what passes by. You can't help what comes into your sight. But buddy, you can help the long look. You can help the second look. You can help the third look, the fourth look, the fifth look. You can help those looks. You can discipline yourself by the good grace of God to divert your eyes. Let me say this. As a man, I have trouble enough with my thoughts, with an attractive woman that's dressed modestly, let alone a woman that's attractive that's dressed immodestly. I have to be careful. I have to say, hey, wake up yourself. Lord, help me. Am I the only man that struggles with that? I doubt it. I doubt it. But men,
You need to get control of your eyes, and you need to get control of your spirit, and you need to ask God to help you. What you look at and what you think about. You better be careful. In this, it is shoved. I'm flat out reading the newspaper online because of the ads. It's just a newspaper. But if I'm not careful, my mind will wander. Men, you have a responsibility. Job 31 and verse 1 says, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? You better be careful what you look at, because what you look at, you'll start thinking about. And we don't need much help to think in that direction. Right? You know that's true. And you women that are married know that's true. And you women that have sons know that that's true. We don't need any help for our minds to go that way. That's how God made us. And I'm not going to apologize. I don't need to apologize for it. I need to be guarded against. I need to acknowledge it is what it is. But it's only okay in the bounds of my marriage. But God made me that way, and God made men that way. I don't know why he made us that way, but he did. So men, you have your responsibility. As we gather together in church, we have our responsibility. And if a woman, and let me make, I haven't made this clear, and I need to make it clear, I'm speaking to members. If you're not a member of Sunshine Baptist Church, I'm not talking to you. Some good stuff here for you. You'll probably get some help, but I have no authority over you if you're not a member. I've been accused of running people off because I spoke to someone about how they dress and they're not members. I haven't even spoken to one single person that's a member about how they dress. Not personally. I've never tapped one person on the shoulder and said, sis, you need... I haven't done that. I never have. And I wouldn't do it to a non-member. If a non-member come in here in a string bikini, I'd say, sit down and I'll do my best to avert my gaze and I'll preach the gospel to her. But if you're a member of Sunshine Baptist Church, there is a standard. So that's the responsibility of men. You know your responsibility. And it's a battle out there in the world. I face it every day. And if you're honest, it's a battle you face every single day. And that's one of the reasons I'm looking forward to heaven. Because it's an unceasing battle every day. And if I don't get up and prepare myself before the Lord for that day, I'm going to struggle. I shouldn't have to struggle at church. I shouldn't have to avert my gaze at church. Church should be a sanctuary for your brothers. Ladies, is that fair enough? So let me point out, and this is the spirit that I want you to take this in. Go with me to Luke chapter 17. Let me point out the responsibility for the women. Luke 17, verse 1 and 2. And then we'll also find Romans chapter 14 and verse 12. And this is, if there's something I want you to get a hold of as women of the church, this is what you need to embrace. This is how you need to approach it, what we're going to look at here. Luke 17 and verse 1. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offences will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Do you notice that word in verse 1, offences? I'm going to give you two other ways it's translated in your King James Bible. Occasion to fall and a stumbling block. To cause your brother an offence, to cause an occasion for him to fall, to cause him an occasion to set a stumbling block in front of him. Look, offences are going to happen. Stumbling blocks are going to happen. But woe unto the sister that deliberately puts a stumbling block or a way of offence before her brother. Verse 2 says, it were better for him or her that a millstone were hanged about his or her neck and he or she cast into the sea than that she or he should offend one of these little ones. I'm a child of God. And if you're saved, you're my sister. And the Lord knows that I have a battle every day because I'm a man. And he knows I struggle with it every day. And then when I come to church as a sister, you ought to be real careful not to put a stumbling block or a way of offense or an occasion for me to fall when I come to church. Go with me to Romans chapter 14 and verse 12. Romans 14 and verse 12. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. You need to remember that. You'll give an account to God, and I'll give an account to God myself. Okay, so as a brother in the church, I'll give an account. Right? But as a sister in the church, you give an account for yourself. Okay? So we're all going to give an account. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Verse 13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore. Don't worry about judging everybody. But judge this, right? This is what you need to judge. That no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Do you know that that word offence is back up there in Luke 17? And these two words, stumbling block and occasion to fall, are exactly the same Greek word? And what I'm saying is I don't need to be judging you. You don't need to be looking down your nose at me. What you need to do is you need to be careful not to put a stumbling block in front of me, and I need to be careful not putting a stumbling block in front of you as brothers and sisters as we come together to worship God. That's what the spirit of this thing ought to be. Do you understand the spirit I'm trying to deliver it in? We need to be careful that we don't cause one another to stumble. I hope your attitude wouldn't be, well, men ought to just deal with it. I ought to be able to dress how I want, and men ought to just repent of that filth and just get their mind out of the gutter. Okay, let's just flip that little coin. You weren't made like me. You don't understand. I don't expect you to understand. But let's just flip that little coin and say, let's just approach the women's emotion. Most of the time, that makes no sense. Most of the time, it's completely irrational. Should I say to my wife, would you just get over it and think like a man? Would you approach this emotionally like I would? No, you would say, and hang on, you can't be that way. God made us with those emotions. Yes, he did, and I need to acknowledge that. And I don't understand my daughter's emotions, and I don't understand my wife's emotions, but I need to make allowance for them. You may not understand the battle that we have with our eyes and our minds as men, but you need to acknowledge that it's real, and you need to make allowance for it, whether you understand it or not. I hope your attitude isn't, well, not my problem. I haven't done anything wrong. My conscience is clear before the Lord. Well, let me read you Proverbs 30 and verse 20. It says, such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness. Just be careful of your spirit in this thing. Let's go to our text in 1 Timothy. We need to keep moving. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9. We're just going to go through verse 9. I'm going to pull out a few words. I'm just going to give there an explanation of the words really quickly, and I'm going to move on. In like manner also that women adorn themselves. Notice that word adorn. It means to garnish, trim, put in order, arrange, make ready and prepare. So before you come to church, you've You're getting ready, you're in your room, you're getting dressed, and you're adorning yourself. You're garnishing yourself, you're trimming yourself, you're preparing yourself before you come. You're taking your body and you're garnishing it, you're trimming it, you're preparing it, you're arranging it, you're making it ready, you're putting things in order after you've got out of bed and before you come to church. To adorn. That's pretty straightforward. And that which you adorn yourself in, it needs to be, it says here, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. What does modest mean? It means very simply well arranged, seemly, and of good behaviour. If you look at it from a number of different aspects and you read on this word modesty, it has the idea of this: not suggestive, not seductive, not showy, not ostentatious or flashy. See, modesty doesn't only have to do with the... Immodesty isn't just the bearing of skin. You can be fully clothed and still be immodest, because you come in here dressed to the nines, strutting around ostentatiously, flashy and showy. You've got... A flash dress, I know, no telling how much you paid for it, and the flash handbag and the big high heels and the hair all done and the makeup and the jewelry going everywhere, you're blinged out to the nines. And it's not that you're bearing skin, but you're drawing attention to yourself. That's immodest. When we come to the house of God, it's not for putting yourself on display. We've come to worship a holy God. The men, we've come to lift up holy hands and pray. And we shouldn't have to be confessing before God, Lord, forgive me for what I looked at and the thoughts I had between the front door and the pulpit. I shouldn't have to do that. I should be able to, it should be a sanctuary where I can just come and pray. So modesty means well arranged, seemly, and of good behaviour. Apparel, that word apparel speaks of your dress, your garment, and your attire. There's only one, the word apparel is only used here in this passage, not used anywhere else. And the word attire is only mentioned one or two other times. And it's mentioned in Proverbs 7 and verse 10. And in Proverbs 7 and verse 10 it says, "And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart." I'd say there's a pretty fine line between the attire of a harlot and modest apparel. Wouldn't take much to drift over there. Do you know that we have 8-year-old girls in church wearing the same attire that prostitutes were wearing on the street corner 15, 20 years ago? It's crazy. But that's the world we live in. We need to be careful it doesn't drift into the church. Notice the word "with shamefacedness." Ladies, when you garnish yourselves and you put that apparel on that's well arranged and seemly and of good behaviour, it's not suggestive, seductive or showy. It's not ostentatious, it's not flashy. It's just of good behaviour. It needs to be along the same line and in the spirit of shamefacedness. That means a sense of shame, a sense of modesty and bashfulness, a regard for others, a respect for others, and a reverence. We ought to dress, as women, you ought to be dressing with shamefacedness, with a little bashfulness. There's not too many women that blush anymore. But you ought to be able to blush easily.
You ought to dress with a little shamefacedness, with a little reverence, with a little respect and regard for others, a sense of shame, not strutting around showing it all off, but with a sense of shamefacedness. Does that mean you ought to be ashamed of yourself? No. It just means having some self-respect and some respect for others. Sobriety. With shamefacedness and sobriety. That word sobriety means a sound mind and self-control. Well, I couldn't help it. It just happens. It's just the way I dress. Have some self-control. Don't dress that way. Control yourself. Be sober-minded about this thing. Wake up to yourself. Think about it. Don't just skip through life. Be sober-minded on this subject. So we see the word adorn, modest, apparel, shamefacedness, and sobriety. You know, the easy thing to do is just make up a list of rules. A lot of pastors do it. A lot of churches do it. I don't like that. The reason I don't like that, because then you're just doing it because I said so. But can I point out to you that God said so? God said when you gather together in church, the women are to dress modestly. Ladies of Sunshine Baptist Church, you have a mandate from God to dress yourself modestly. I didn't make that up. You read that in your own Bible. Now this is where it's going to get a little difficult. But I feel I need to do this. I'm going to do it. Let me give you 8 things, ladies, and I encourage you to have a pen and paper, particularly you younger ladies. Most of you ladies that are married or you've got teenage boys, you're already aware of this. But you younger ladies, perhaps your mum hasn't told you, perhaps your dad hasn't told you, perhaps your brother hasn't told you, I don't know. So as your pastor, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to point out a few things to you ladies that cause your brothers to struggle. Is that fair enough? This is embarrassing. But, and it's not off colour, not off colour at all. I just don't like talking about it because it exposes me. Right? I don't like that. But if you men are honest, you struggle with the same thing. I tell you what I struggle with. High slits in skirts and dresses. You got a long flowy skirt on or dress on, but that split, she's run all the way up to about here. I have to look away. That's extremely attractive. I must look away. Let me tell you what goes through a man's mind when he sees that. That's not too much further. I wonder what's up that last little bit. You mean you've thought that? Yeah. And then I have to go home and ask the Lord to forgive me. And I struggle with that every day. But I have to struggle with that at church, and I shouldn't have to. And my brother shouldn't have to. High slits.
My wife and my daughters, they find skirts and dresses that they like. And you know what they do? They take it to Mrs. Sharon Gallup and say, "Sis, stitch her up." And down they go. Why? Because I believe that's modest. But I'm telling you, that causes your brothers to struggle, those high slits. Number two, tight skirts and dresses that hug the buttocks. So it's long. Sure, it's long. But it's so tight you must have had to oil up or powder up to get in that ridiculous thing. And you're probably going to have to cut it to get it off. As Brother Farley's, I was listening to a message of Brother Farley's the other day, and he was talking about modesty in and around, so I can't remember what message it was, and he said it's that tight you can slide a newspaper up under there and still read it in 3D. There's no need for it to be that tight. I'm telling you that I struggle with that. And your brothers struggle with that. That causes your brothers to have to say, Let me ask you this. What attire does a prostitute wear on a street corner? She wears a very tight little skirt or dress that hugs her buttocks because that's what's on sale. And that's what's attractive to a man. I told you it was going to get awkward. But there's no need to wear that tight of clothing in church. I shouldn't see the outline of your underwear. There's no need for it. I'm just telling you, as your brother, I struggle. Short dresses and skirts. It's the most ridiculous thing. Seriously, chuck it in the bin and get a longer skirt. If you've got to do the shuffle, the whole service, just give it away. Just get a longer skirt. Now, I've been wrestling over this for months, how to deal with this. And, you know, I was looking at nakedness in the Bible and all. We can go into all that. But do you know that your thighs, biblically, your thighs are considered your nakedness? And the priests, the male priests, had to wear linen breeches under their priestly garments so they didn't expose their nakedness. And those breeches were to cover from their loins, from their hips, down to their knees. They'll cover their thighs. Because to expose your thighs is to expose your nakedness. I'm telling you, ladies, I don't need to see your thighs. Because that's very attractive to a man. That's very appealing. And that causes me to struggle. Number four, we're nearly halfway. Tight tops that accentuate the breast. According to Proverbs chapter 5, the breast is a very appealing thing to the man. But when I come to church, I don't need a lesson in mammary glands. I just don't.
It doesn't need to be that tight. You could put something over it. Wear something looser. I'm just telling you, I have to look away. I can't continue to look at that and maintain pure thoughts. Along the same line, number 5, low neckline, unbuttoned blouses and cleavage of any kind. Do you know how difficult it is? You'll understand. Ladies, I guess probably not. I don't know. But do you know how difficult it is to stand up here and preach when everything's just hanging out? It's just really difficult. Do you know how difficult it is to speak with a woman and have a conversation with her and it's all just hanging out in front of you? And it's difficult. It's uncomfortable. I told you it was going to be plain. But I'm just telling you what causes me to struggle. And I know I'm speaking for the men. See through clothing, number 6. Well, you're fully dressed. Yeah, but this cheesecloth stuff, if I can see through it and see your underwear and see your skin under it, that's not clothing. In fact, that's nearly even more appealing to a man. It is. Just showing a little bit. See-through clothing. No, I don't need to see your underwear. I don't need to see your skin. Number 7. Pants. This is a bit of a wordy one. I really don't know how to word this, but pants, jeans, slacks, leggings, whatever. That are tight-fitting, form-fitting, that hug the buttocks, the thighs and the crotch. Boy, I just don't need to see that. Do you know what you do when you wear that? You're drawing the attention of every male to perhaps the most erotic area of a woman. I don't need to see it. I must look away. Yeah, but preacher, you don't know how comfortable they are. I must confess, I don't, because I've never put them on. Could you imagine? Don't. But my wife and daughters, Leanne and my girls, they tell me how wonderful they are. In fact, Leanne's buying them some. I think they're from American Eagle. Is that where they are? Apparently there's some really comfy ones in a store called American Eagle. And they're getting them. But they put something over them. I understand it's comfy. I'm glad you found something comfy. Now cover it up. Oh, but, yeah, see, now we're getting down to the truth of it. Is it really because it's comfy or is it because you like putting it on display too? Why would you have a trouble covering it up? I'm just saying, I don't need to see that. Number 8, lastly, bare midriff, waist, bare back and shoulders. The Choffins and I, we went and ate at a Turkish restaurant a few weeks ago, and lo and behold, a belly dancer comes out. I had no idea. Down in Brisbane, beautiful meal. Good company.
And that belly dancer, you know, they're generally not big fat women. They're generally attractive women. You know, I couldn't look at her. I had to keep looking away. There's something attractive about the midriff of a woman to a man. And I don't need to see it in church. Oh, yeah, but the top touches. Really? You shrug your shoulders and you bare your belly button. You bend over to pick something up and your back, all the way to your bra strap, is naked. I don't need to see it. I don't need to see your underwear. Do you understand what I'm saying? Bare back and shoulders. As I was looking at this, I read an article. I was just Googling modern day modesty, just looking around at some things. And I read an article about a Hollywood fashion designer, a female Hollywood fashion designer. And the person interviewing her made the observation that most of her tops and dresses were off the shoulder and exposed back. And she said, yes, I do that for a very good reason. Because the bare shoulders and neckline and the bare back of a woman are considered some of the most sensual areas of a woman. That's what the world says. That those bare shoulders and that bare back, Hollywood says it's the most, one of the most sensual areas of a woman. And she said, because it sells. Because it does. Spaghetti straps, off the shoulder. That's fine. Put a t-shirt under it. Put something over the top of it. I don't need to see your naked shoulders and your naked neckline and your naked back. I don't need to see that in church. I don't need to be at the pew singing the hymns, looking at a woman's naked back. I don't need to see that. I'm trying to worship God. I'm trying to lift up holy hands and pray, and I've got to divert my eyes. I shouldn't have to, folks. Now, this is what I want to do. I'm going to put you men on the spot. It might make me feel a little bit better. If you struggle, if you men, if you struggle with some or one or all of these, I want you to raise your hand. I want you to put it up high. I want you to hold it up. If any of those things cause you to struggle, put up high. Well done, boys. Appreciate you being honest. Now, keep it up. Keep it up. Ladies, look around. Look around. Look around the room. That's everybody. You put your hands down. Those things cause your brothers to struggle. They have to divert their gaze. And we have to do that every day. Well, that's just perverted. It's just sick. You just need to get your minds out of the gutter. You just need to think about something else. Probably. But let me remind you that that's how God made us. He made us to be attracted to women. I would be concerned about you if you were a young man and none of those things bothered you. So well done for putting your hands up. That's God made us that way. But boys, it's only okay in the bounds of marriage. So you have those lusts, you have those desires. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't be disgusted by it and fearful of it, but control it. And know that it's, you wait. And praise God for these young men that have waited. They've waited. And these young women that have waited. It's hard to wait. But you wait until God brings you a lovely young lady and then you enjoy her. That's what she's for. But until then, you keep yourself pure. Control yourself. Self-control. Get control of your eyes. Get control of your thoughts. Ask God to help you. His grace is sufficient, boys. You can do it. You can stay pure until God gives you a girl. You can. God can help you. But ladies, you need to play your part too. And these young boys shouldn't have to come to church and struggle. Your brothers shouldn't have to come to church and struggle. Well, you may say, and some of you young ladies, you may be saying, I had no idea that, you know, perhaps you wore some of that, you wear some of those things, and perhaps you're sitting there and you're saying, I had no idea that that would cause a man to struggle. Didn't even cross my mind. Wouldn't expect it to. You're not a man. But now you know. But let me make this statement. I came across this quote, and I think it's pretty good. The purity of your motive does not cancel the effect of your dress. Oh, but it's just so pretty. I just like it. It's just who I am. Okay, you may not be putting it on thinking you're going to see how many men you can seduce. Or okay, so your motive's pure and it's just because it's just who you are and it's just pretty and it just makes me feel good. And well, that's fine. But the purity of your motive doesn't cancel out the effect of that it has on men. You just got to be careful. So what do we do? Let me just give you a few things and then we're going to close. Well, if you need to make some adjustments here and you've been guilty in these areas as ladies, I exhort you to repent of your conforming to the world. Repent of causing your brother to stumble. Ask the Lord to help you. You get down and pray. You tell, Lord, I had no idea. I had no idea that the way I was dressing would cause my brothers to stumble. I had no idea that they would be averting their gaze. Because Lord, forgive me, help me. Even if your motive was pure, turn from that. So repent. Number two, replace. What do I mean by that? Well, I mean bring forth fruits meet for repentance. So you're going to repent of it, so replace it. Replace the offending clothing. Go home and chuck it out. I'll have nothing to wear. I'll only have one outfit. That's okay. They're still making clothes. Let me make this statement. You can dress modestly and modern in this world. You can dress stylish. You can dress modernly and still be modest. You can. You can dress modestly and femininely. Is femininely a word? Sister Linda, we're going to go with that, femininely. You can dress femininely and modestly and modern. You can do it. It takes a little effort. I know it's difficult. I have a wife and two daughters and they have to go searching for their clothes. But they do it. It can be done. Renew. Renew your conscience before God. Pray for God to give you a sensitive conscience where this is concerned. And then lastly, respond. Respond to quality control. My wife often comes to me. Hun, is this okay? Yeah. Better not, hun. Looks a little too good. You better just make a change here. And she doesn't buck. Ever. Have you seen her buck, girls? Never. Husband, be a man and graciously and kindly, even if she doesn't ask. Sweetheart, I think we need to make a change there. You know, hey, it's difficult. Make for a heated discussion, but a needed one. But respond to your husband's direction. Let me make this statement. Respond to women's exhortation. You oughtn't be above one of the ladies of the church coming and sitting down and exhorting you to reconsider an article of clothing. In fact, that's actually part of the responsibility of the older women, is to teach the younger women. And the younger women ought to be in subjection to them. An older woman in the church has every right to approach a younger lady and say, "Dear sister, can I just point this out to you?" Do it graciously, do it kindly, do it lovingly. Respond to the pastor's instruction. Repent, replace, renew, and respond. In conclusion, now I understand there's a lot of people not here. And this isn't going up on sermon audio. The world doesn't need to listen to this. This is for our church. Has been recorded, though. And I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make note of every member that's not here. And I'm going to get Gavin to run a copy. And I'm personally going to put it in their hand and exhort them to listen to it. And then let me make this statement. If a pattern, not a once-off, mistakes happen, oversights happen, just happens. I said a pattern. If a pattern of immodesty continues, individually, I will confront you with two of the men. I'll do it graciously. I'll do it lovingly. But I mentioned this about 6 months ago. You remember that, church? And I said I wasn't going to overlook it anymore. Nothing much has changed since then. So here we are. But the next step, everybody's been told. We've had a very, very plain discussion. I don't think I could be any plainer. The next step is I'll speak to you individually and exhort you to repent of your immodesty in the house of God. I'm talking about the house of God. Now, my opinion is it oughtn't be much different out there. But I have no authority out there. But in church and church-related ministries, as your pastor, there's a mandate from God for the women to dress modestly. You must. We couldn't go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, the qualifications of a bishop and a deacon, and say, well, it's 2019. We wouldn't do that. We wouldn't go to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and the first few verses and, well, let's not worry about praying in church anymore. Well, so too the middle section there about the behaviour of women, we can't just overlook it. We can't just let it go. Again, can I remind you of Romans chapter 14 and verse 12?
And I encourage you to embrace the spirit of this verse. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Let's close in a word of prayer. My Lord, I bow before you. I just pray and I ask, my Lord, would you be pleased to take what's been said and help us, Lord. I pray for my sisters in the Lord. I thank you for each and every one of them. I love them in the Lord. And Father, I pray that you would help them to be able to receive the instruction that's been given in a spirit of meekness and a spirit of grace. And Lord, I pray that you'd help the men. God, help us, give us the grace. Give us the victory, my Lord, over our minds, our eyes. Oh God, help us by thy good grace make a covenant with our eyes that we might not look upon a maid. Lord, we're so different, men and women. But God, would you give us the grace to dwell together in unity? Help us to understand one another's different viewpoint. But may we all be surrendered to your will. We ask your blessing as we dismiss. In Jesus' name, amen.